Now, reports this morning that Australia could soon have its own space agency, with the federal government announcing a review into Australia's space capabilities. Australia is only one of two OECD organisations, or nations, I should say, not only to have its own space agency, with Iceland being the other country. Now, to discuss this issue in further detail, we're joined by Professor Stephen Friedland. We've spoken to him before. He's the Dean of the School of Law at Western University. He's also a member of the Space Law Committee of the International Law Association, if you don't mind. Professor Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Adrian. How are you?
Very well, thank you, and thanks for joining us again on The Daily.
You're welcome.
Now, what stopped Australia from developing its own space agency, you know, to this point?
Well, by asking that question, we're sort of focusing maybe on ignoring the fact that Australia has actually been very active in the space industry. A report for the government a couple of years ago indicated that the Australian space industry was worth somewhere between $3 and $4 billion a year. Now, that's still a really small fractional amount compared to the global space industry, but the fact that Australia hasn't had a formal space agency as such hasn't necessarily been an impediment to some of the activities. Of course, lots of people say that without a formal space agency, we put ourselves as a disadvantage. And obviously, that's something that everybody needs to sit down and consider closely. But, you know, your listeners should recognise that Australia is active in space. We could be more active. We should be more active. We need to investigate how to do that. And the issue of a space agency may be one question amongst a whole range of different issues that need to be addressed.
What are the advantages for Australia to develop its own space agency?
Well, the advantages, what any country needs, whether you call it an agency or whether you call it something else, is you need a strategy, you need a focus, and you need a centralized, if you like, core of expertise within government that is the focal point for the range of collaborative activities that are available. So most countries have a formal agency, but you have to say that, you know, there are agencies and there are agencies in terms of their size and complexity. So New Zealand has a space agency that they've recently announced. It's very small. NASA has a space agency. You know, NASA is the American space agency. It's very large. So the fact that something is called an agency doesn't necessarily mean that it covers, it's all things to all people. But certainly it's an advantage for any country to have a centralized core of expertise where, if you like, all of the activities in civil space are coordinated.
Right. Now, you mentioned New Zealand there. They've already started the process of developing their own space agency. What could we learn from our friendly neighbours across the Dutch?
Well, New Zealand responded, if you like, to a significant opportunity that came their way. And in fact, I've had the privilege of working with the New Zealand government to develop their own space law, which has literally just passed through the Royal Assent phase in the last couple of days. And that they had a specific opportunity because a company wanted to engage in launch service activities from New Zealand. In fact, they've had one test launch. And so the government, starting, if you like, with a clean slate in terms of law and regulation, decided that it was in its best interest to set up these laws and, as part of that, set up a space agency. But at least at this stage, that agency is very, very small and not particularly significantly resourced. And that, of course, hopefully will grow from their perspective. But it's also an important issue for any agency or, if you like, any centralised body. It needs to be resourced properly.
Hmm. Now, how would the development of Australia's own space agency benefit perhaps the military capabilities of the country?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer because typically space agencies around the world, and I'm generalising a bit, focus on the, if you like, the civil and commercial activities and the, if you like, military activities of any government in space are dealt with perhaps through different ministries, perhaps Ministry of Defence or the like, whereas space agencies typically in most countries fall within the rubric of maybe ministries of science or education or industry or something like that. So there is, from a governmental viewpoint, typically, and I'm not talking about the Australian situation, but generally, a bit of a demarcation between the regulation and overseeing of civil activities and military activities. Now, of course, it's a complex world, and increasingly space becomes a, if you like, a dual-use type of scenario. What I mean by that is you now have, all around the world, you have satellite capability, which at the same time is providing civil and commercial services to paying customers and whatever, and at the same time it also providing, as part of its customer base, services to, if you like, the military aspects, you know, for surveillance or communications or whatever. So the demarcation that has traditionally been utilized by many countries in terms of how they view space becomes a bit blurred now because of the dual use nature of space. And, you know, that just adds to the complexity about what the best way of overseeing this for any one country is.
Right. Now, you're a member of the expert review group. What will the committee be focusing upon?
Well, it's just been announced this morning. So, obviously, we haven't had any meetings. And I'm not, you know, I'm just one of a number of members of the group. So I can't speak for the group. But if you look at the terms of reference that the minister has set out in his press release this morning, they're pretty broad. And essentially, they're designed to allow the group to report back to the minister about Australia's the capabilities of the Australian space industry. And I think that's a really important thing. We do some fantastic things already. We've got incredible research. We've got really good entrepreneurs. We've got really good established players already doing things in space for quite some time. But clearly, with the way that technology is developing, this is there's great potential for significant growth. And any country also needs to focus on that in terms of maintaining a competitive advantage. So whilst I can't speak for the group, we haven't met yet, I'm sure that as a group we will look at what are the opportunities, where are the gaps, how might the government structures help in terms of promoting and maximising the advantages that Australia can garner from its own indigenous space capability.
Very interesting. Bit of a watch this space, eh?
It's a bit. I mean, obviously, the announcement of the review group was only this morning, but this is part of an ongoing process. I was involved last year with a review of Australia's space laws, which was one part of this ongoing matrix of, you know, we've got to get this right, no doubt. And so when you understand how to regulate and you understand what the opportunities are and what our capabilities are, I think perhaps you're in a good position then to determine exactly how to move forward.
Well, Professor Stephen, thank you so much for your time today and teaching us a little bit about what's happening with Australia, perhaps going
you're
to space.
You're welcome, Adrian. All the best.
Thank you. There we are. That was Professor Stephen Friedland there, Dean at the Western Sydney University School of Law, sharing some of his expertise on the possibility of an Australian space agency in the future.